Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
I don't want to speak for Michael and Easy Ed,
right,
but I believe in the wine business, champagne, wine, booze business, Wednesday of
day
Thanksgiving.
Before. Oh, sure.
Day before.
You gotta load up. The biggest day. And, right, and I think today will be big, and then tomorrow, Saturdays are always big, but I would think the day before a holiday.
Yeah. Is there anybody out there, is there a spinner outside of La Cheeserie advertising Black Friday sales?
Like the guy at the haircut place who just his barbershop?
And yeah.
He's out there getting sunburnt standing on Connecticut Avenue?
Get you Jarlsberg here.
Nope.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
All righty, we're live at Chatter. This is a Monday morning. For change, it's raining. As we in Washington get ready to crash through the barrier of the wettest year in Washington, D.C. history.
In terms of water.
In terms of water, in which we will do by the end of the month, this month, with a full month to go. We're at the corner of Jennifer Street Northwest and Wisconsin Avenue Northwest in Friendship Heights, inside the district line. Let me advertise a few things. Tori's book podcast, Chatter on Books, is tonight at
5:30.
Please come. Please buy food and drink.
Yes.
And Gary Williams' coaches show with Chris Nocke and usually Ed Tapscott and Gordon Austin.
That's right.
Right. They follow that show, and you can stay and you can listen to that show and watch that show.
Then watch Monday Night Football.
Yeah, Monday Night Football, Houston, Tennessee.
Great. There you go.
Not the greatest draw in the world.
We planned your Monday night for you.
Yeah. So there you go. You have something to do. The rain will end, I think, by afternoon rush hour. Let me thank. Let me just say this. This is from Wolfgang Ege, Egg or Ege or Edge.
I
don't know.
If it's Turkish, it's Ege.
Okay, Ege.
It's
this
German.
Is Wolfgang, yes, that Wolfgang from Dayton, long time from way back before the internet show.
Wolfgang.
Where the conversation and the breaks were the show within the show, your Breakfast Club banter and quality guests give me laughter and the ever-valuable lessons for life. I bring tribute, killer brownies from the Dorothy Lane Market, which should satisfy your sweet tooth, and by all means eat at Saliza. P.S. Mm-hmm. That 3-degree ratchet from Lowe's would have been handy to a couple of Dayton locals, Wilbur and Orville Wright, when making adjustments on the fly, as it were. I opened up, because I'd had them here for the weekend, I opened up, didn't know what was in the tin. Gary, why don't you describe what you saw?
So, and this is by no means, I mean, we thank Wolfgang
tremendously.
But if I were him, I would want to know this.
It's my fault for leaving them here over the weekend,
maybe,
I guess.
Maybe it was even prior to that, because they don't appear to have been opened, but the tin and the brownies looked delicious,
compromised.
By the way. Was crawling with live ants.
Yeah.
So that
did
was
you eat them?
They were delicious.
Yeah,
they were really good.
So to show
crunchy.
The people out there what I think of them, I didn't even say, does anybody want these? I threw them out.
Does anybody
nobody in fact, Tony said, throw them out. And I said, a couple of the folks in the crowd look sort of hungry. But he said, absolutely not.
These are the kind of people who would eat these.
Throw them out. Throw
that's
them
what Gary
out.
Said.
No,
that's disdain for you people.
Completely goes without saying.
No bounds.
So I had, I think we can talk a little bit about the NFL yesterday. Although for me, yesterday's NFL was anticlimactic compared to Thursday's NFL, in which every game I had some interest in. And this yesterday, very little. I guess the most important game was the Packers now appearing done.
Yes.
They had a chance. It looks like Mike McCarthy will go. Rodgers is, how old is Rodgers? 35, 36?
Is he that old?
This may be it for Aaron Rodgers because they have to retool that whole deal. They had a chance,
34.
Right?
34. He'll be 35 in December.
Well, they had a turnover on a punt late in the game, and they were going to get the ball back.
They had a chance.
I will say this, Tony, and not to push back too hard on your always reactionary takes to the NFL. If you look at the schedule.
Thank you.
Green Bay, which I'm trying to pull up unsuccessfully.
Green Bay has an easier schedule than anybody else.
It is very conceivable.
Got to win them all.
You do have to win them all. It is conceivable that in 2 weeks, both these teams are 6-6-1. Now, Minnesota would have the tiebreak, but Minnesota's next two games are like, would someone help me out here, Saliza?
It's the Patriots.
Patriots and Saints or something?
Yes, it's very, very difficult.
Here's what Green Bay has. Home Cardinals, home Falcons, at Bears. That's a tough one. At Jets, home Lions.
Okay,
they could win all five.
They could win all of those.
Have to
and
win
who
all
does Minnesota
five.
Minnesota's schedule at Patriots.
Hard.
At Seahawks.
Hard now.
Dolphins at home, easy. At the Lions, and Bears at home. I mean, it's not easy.
No, that's
that's.
In any case, Kirk Cousins
looked great.
He did. Kirk Cousins had no picks, and he had three touchdowns. Now, that was what you pay him $75 million guaranteed for, or whatever he's making. The Eagles have made the NFC East interesting by finally winning a game barely over the Giants.
They don't look good, though.
They don't look good, but they're at home against the Redskins next Sunday. That could cause everybody to be tied at that point. Although I think that, everybody would be tied.
Right, because the Cowboys have...
If the Cowboys lose.
Saints. Cowboys are not going to win that game.
Gary, check me on this, but aren't the Redskins currently in the final wild card spot?
Yes, they are.
They are.
So they have a double chance.
They are.
And that's because of the Panthers collapse, right?
Carolina and Green Bay losing the way they lose. The Redskins are now in the final wild card.
It's amazing.
Denver beat the Steelers in one of the late games. Ben Roethlisberger threw a terrible interception.
He's
thrown about 6 interceptions in the last 2 weeks.
They throw it all the time. Yeah. And Connor is good. I think he threw it 56 times
this
year. He threw for like 460.
So,
I mean, they are slinging it on every play.
So that's what happened essentially in the NFL.
It wasn't that exciting.
I will say my kid about noon yesterday said, "Dad, listen to this slate of games," and he read me the 1 o'clocks, which was the worst slate of games ever want to hear. But they ended up being pretty exciting. I mean, at least the fourth quarter and end of those.
Well,
1
something
o'clock
like
games.
Like the Colts game gets to be exciting because Vinatieri, who's still kicking and is going to the Hall of Fame.
Even Jacksonville, Buffalo.
And there are 3 kickers who are going to the Hall of Fame. Janikowski's going to the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Vinatieri's going, and I think Guskowski's probably going to the Hall of Fame.
Well, 2 of them won games yesterday.
Yeah, so, the 2 older guys won games. So we can get to that. But I would state for the record, and we'll talk at great length with Wilbon about this, that the most exciting thing that happened in sports over the weekend
was not
Phil and Tiger. It was Michigan-Ohio State. Ohio State shredded Michigan. That game, every time Michigan attempted to be close, Ohio State played a game the way Alabama plays a game, which is if you think you're going to get within 7-10, you're not. We're going to take the ball down and score in a minute, and it's going to be 14-17 again. That's what it's going to be. And you say that about Alabama because Alabama is the best team in the country. Yes. I mean, if you watched Alabama.
Not close.
I mean, and Auburn's a pretty good team. They're not a great team. They're a pretty good team. Alabama's a dominant team. We don't have to talk about Alabama. But what Ohio State did, and this is, and I have a very good friend, Jeff Leonardo, who's Ohio State grad and loves Ohio State. And we have agreed not to talk about Urban Meyer, I loathe Urban Meyer for a variety of reasons.
He's eminently low. He's such a punchable face.
We don't talk about that. We agree that he's a great coach, and that's why he has his job at an institution of higher learning that should have had more stature and belief in itself than to keep Urban Meyer. But let's leave that aside for a second. Yep. Ohio State was playing at home where Michigan, and this is not just about Jim Harbaugh, Michigan has now lost to Ohio State 14 of the last 15 times they've played.
That's astonishing.
So when people say this is the greatest rivalry in sports, no, it isn't, because they've lost 14 of 15. They have not won in Columbus since the year 2000. How can Ohio State be the underdog? A one-loss team. And I know they haven't looked good, and Michigan has. But I don't know how you can be the underdog with that track record. And in fact, they put 62 on Michigan. 62 points on what was going into that game the single best defense in the country. Mm-hmm. 62. Everybody watched. What did you think of that?
It was never terribly in doubt. The Ohio State quarterback, after that kickoff turnover late in the first half.
Yeah.
But I mean,
by the way, Gus Johnson does get carried away, doesn't he?
I do love him though.
Still fun. Gus Johnson saying of the Ohio State quarterback, he's got to be at that ceremony in New York.
Oh, yeah.
He's got to be there to watch Tua get that award.
Correct. I mean, Tua accounted for 6 TDs, you 5 know. Throwing and 1 rush against Auburn, not against Austin Peay.
You know,
maybe it was Herb Street. Did Herb Street do the Notre Dame game? They're all sort of running
the night
way.
Game.
Okay, and he may have said this. I forget.
By the way, congratulations to Notre Dame.
And our good friend Ryan Poland.
Yes. They're in.
They
yes.
did it.
And by the way, they ain't Alabama.
No one is.
Nobody is.
But I think it was Herb Street who said, and I thought this was very interesting, in talking actually about the Michigan game, but maybe he was relating it to Notre Dame. He said, college football has changed. He was talking about Tua and Alabama, and he said, I don't think you can just win with a defense anymore. when you talk about like winning the whole thing. It's sort of gone the NFL way now, where you have to have an offense. I mean, look at what Dwayne Haskins did in that game, throwing for almost 400 yards and 6 touchdowns against what was purportedly a tremendous defense.
He's local.
He's from
Potomac.
Really?
Oh, he went to Bullis, I think.
Yes, he's local. Oh. Yeah. He's local. He's here. He's a DC kid.
Oh, I didn't. Can I just make one more recommendation for an amazing my favorite game of the weekend was the A&M LSU game.
We're gonna get to
the
that.
Stakes weren't as high, obviously, but that game was
those games are fine. They're fine.
They're not the
this
big
thing,
right.
This thing was
what the game
colossal.
What the game reminded me of was when Jim Tressel would take Ohio State, who had done very well in the Big Ten and was a dominant team, would take them to the national championship game, and they would play Urban Meyer in Florida.
And they would lose.
And they would, but not just lose. They would lose by like 50. And yeah. It was like, we've got to totally redo the way.
And they have.
Well, that was a conference dominance thing, yeah. It felt like. Yeah.
But that style of
play. I was very disappointed in the Michigan quarterback.
Tressel also
slow,
didn't do anything.
Yeah. Didn't have much.
They didn't seem to. They just said, well, let's keep handing it off here.
And maybe I'm wrong. I still thought Harbaugh had this mystique that like a pro job would open up and they'd be like, oh, Harbaugh may leave Michigan. But like, is the Harbaugh mystique now gone? I mean, they did have a very good season.
Still hear rumblings for the Colts, but
they did have a very good season prior to this game.
That's a bad loss. 3 years left on his deal.
Colts?
There were rumblings about that prior to Frank Reich's research.
Yeah, it's prior to Frank Reich's research. They won like 11 games in a row.
Pretty good now.
They're good now.
Yeah. Right now, they're pretty good.
But the big fear at Michigan was, well, we'll never be able to keep him. And now.
Well, now that.
I don't want to.
I mean, they still had a good season.
They're 10-2
at the
moment.
Right.
But what I would. And the other loss for them was to Notre Dame.
Yes.
I mean, these are. Quality losses, but
you pay that guy
to win
beat
that
Ohio State. Yeah, I mean, that's the whole.
Yes, you as now, this is not the college football polls that are out now are not the playoff poll.
Mm-hmm. That's tomorrow night.
But I was very surprised that Oklahoma was ahead of Ohio State.
Well, they've got
Oklahoma has no defense at all,
but they have the best offense in the country.
Maybe they do. They don't play anybody defense to stop
them. Put up 62 against Michigan.
You know, that was...
Do you think that stands up? Do you think they'll be in the playoffs? I guess it depends.
I'll say this to you, that if Georgia beats Alabama close...
Oh, Georgia,
neither Ohio State or Oklahoma are getting in.
Right.
They're not getting in
right at
that point. Because Alabama's
in no matter what, right?
I think unless they
lose
Alabama's loss, if they lose to Georgia, would be a better loss...
Yes.
Than Oklahoma's loss or Ohio State's loss.
Oh, absolutely.
The body of their work would be significantly better.
And who does Clemson?
They would be shut out.
Who will Clemson?
I don't even know if they have to play in an ACC championship game. They may just be awarded the championship because who are they going to play?
I mean,
they play Pitt.
So that's that.
They're at
what?
It's Saturday night.
So that's in that game is usually in Atlanta. The ACC game?
Pitt needs,
or is the SEC game in Atlanta?
Pitt needs Larry Fitzgerald back to win that one.
It's listed on the schedule here as a home game for Pitt.
I believe
that's a neutral field game.
Pitt is ranked 24th. That stuns me.
Pitt's okay, but they just lost this week. They lost to Miami.
I mean, they're not.
Let's get out of here. Yeah. We will get Michael Wilbon when we return. I am Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is a good ad to read. It's short, it's to the point, and it involves people I like. Go check out the live episode of the Origins podcast, and I like Origins very much because it's Jim Miller, with special guest Sarah Jessica Parker, brought to you by the American Express Business Gold Card. To celebrate the launch of the new Business Gold Card, host James Andrew Miller sits down with Sarah Jessica Parker. I guess everybody has to have three names in that particular show.
Yes, right.
To talk about how she turned her business idea into gold, known as an actress and producer.
Gold, Jerry.
She's also a serious businesswoman with advice and best practices to share. Visit www.originsthepodcast.com to listen. We are fans of Origins. Jim Miller did a great job on
it's
the PTR.
Awesome.
It's
I
a really
it.
Good
yep.
podcast. And if they're sponsored by American Express Gold Business Card, all the better, because I've been an American Express cardholder for like 45 years or something like that. Okay.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show. Tony Kornheiser Show.
Losing the faith on these hammers.
This is from Nick Bowen, who writes, I just wanted to send you my single, Filling Up Balloons. released from being newly signed to this awesome record label called Exquisite Noise Records. Thank you for your time, and I hope you enjoy. We've played Nick Bowen before, have we not?
Yes.
We've liked Nick Bowen.
Yes, this is his stage name. We also know him as Nick Raub.
Okay, but he goes as Nick Bowen. Okay,
yes.
That's fine.
Yes.
Michael Wilbon joins us now, and we are going to talk a lot about college football. And the first thing I'm going to do is offer Wilbon congratulations as Northwestern wins again. I guess that's rivalry week. I guess beating Illinois, you know, they beat him in every single conceivable way, including by saying Chicago's Big Ten team, which I'm sure frosts Illinois. But you beat them. Your record in the Big Ten in the last 2 years is tremendous. It's tremendous.
It is, Tony. We have now, I think as we've won 14 of our last 15 Big Ten games, or maybe it's 15 or 16, I'm almost losing track.
Now, you haven't had to play Ohio State and Penn State much, but
No, we haven't. But we also haven't gotten, you know, Maryland and Rutgers enough
to
chase it either.
Right.
But, no, you raise a great point. Look, to have won 15 of 16 Big Ten games,
tremendous.
That's insane. I mean, I think, you know, right now, you know, we could have, it's going to be tough to have it, but we could have our third 10-win season in the last 4 years. And the only teams better than us in the Big Ten, and it's notable, are Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State.
It's an unbelievably great record. If you hadn't and I won't even single out just Akron. If you had beaten either Akron or Duke, you'd be ranked 10, 11, or 12 right now instead of 21. You would be.
We would, with leads in both those games.
Yeah.
We led every game, Tony, except
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame.
Right.
By double digits. And you know, we've won 7 of our last 8 games. The one loss was a competitive loss to Notre Dame, which is a number 3 team.
Yes. These are great losses.
Great losses, yeah. You mentioned Illinois.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of the Michigan thing. And it's Michigan-Ohio State. And obviously, it's not anywhere near those two schools in terms of performance and level of talent and recruiting and all the program things you measure. But we've beaten Illinois. Yes, and that's rivalry week, and that's our rival. We've beaten Illinois 14 of 15 in football.
Wow.
That's a mastery that just ought not go down well there. 14 of 15 to a school with, I don't know, in theory, at least over to some time, a fraction of your football resources in terms of recruiting and all that. Now it's not. Now it's turned. Pat Fitzgerald has turned it. But yeah, so that game had some significance to us.
No
national consequence, but it's us.
So they have beaten this year. They beaten Purdue, which beat Ohio State. You beat Iowa. You beat Iowa, didn't you? Iowa's good team.
At Iowa.
You beat Nebraska. Nebraska's got a bad record, but beating Nebraska is a big deal to me, given what Nebraska has been.
Yeah.
You beat Michigan State.
At Michigan State.
You won all these games, and your reward is you get Ohio State, which the other day, and I know you will agree with this, that was stunning how they shredded Michigan. How do you account for that?
Tony, you know, people want to make this a Jim Harbaugh story, but the same thing. Ohio State has beaten Michigan 14 of 15.
Yes. There's no rivalry there.
That's not a Jim Harbaugh thing. That's a Michigan problem. It's not a Jim Harbaugh problem exclusively, even though people want to frame it as that. That's, you talk about, look, how can you even think of firing a guy who... with his record, had won 10 straight games.
You can't fire him. That's nuts.
You can't. But, Tony, they are so frosted. They are so frosted at Michigan.
Wow.
That they are owned by their rival. And that is, well, it's still a rivalry, but they are owned by the team. You know, I mean, Bo Schembech, talk about rolling over in your grave.
I could not take my eyes off that game.
Yeah,
I watched Ohio State. I don't say they should have been beat by Maryland, but they could have been beat by Maryland.
They should have been.
I watched them earlier in the year, I think against Indiana, where you go, what is this?
Yeah. Yeah.
They just don't look good at all.
They don't always care, Tony.
Wow.
And see, look, that's that was my hope. I had a couple of scouts tell me, hey, don't be worried about next week as you are, because you don't know if Ohio State will care, and they don't care about, look, they didn't care about Purdue. As great a coach as he is, he could not get them to care enough. They did not care about Maryland. As great a coach as he is, they did not care. He couldn't get them to care. The problem this week is there's one scenario where Ohio State won't care, and I'm counting on it. If at 4 o'clock Eastern, Georgia goes out and beats Alabama, that will render Ohio State done.
They can't
get in the playoffs.
Right.
And they will take the field at 8 o'clock Eastern knowing they cannot get in. And it's possible. They just will not care. Because they do this, Tony. They're great. He's a great coach. But we've seen instances where Ohio State just looks like a dog. Why? Because they don't care.
Is there any jeopardy for the quality of your bowl game depending on how much you lose by if you lose big?
Yeah, I guess so. I know more about this than I probably should because I'm involved in it up to my neck, as you know. But I certainly think that if Ohio State wins big, it doesn't matter. But it does affect down the line. I think Michigan will go to the Rose Bowl.
Yeah,
and I think then Penn State will go to the Citrus Bowl. And I'd love to for us. In that scenario, not going to Southern California, say hello, go to Southern California anyway, and play in the Holiday Bowl against Oregon. I would love that. I would love that. And there are other people who would too. But I don't know if a beatdown, because if Ohio State goes into, if Alabama wins that game, knocking Georgia out.
Yes, two losses
then it comes
out.
Down to Ohio State and Oklahoma.
Yes.
Who puts on a more dazzling show in their conference championship game? It comes down to that.
So I would say that
beat your brains out. They could beat our brains out in certain scenarios. Yes.
I would say that picking. I was surprised to see in the and these are not the ranking poll for the playoff, but the AP poll and the coaches poll. I was surprised to see Oklahoma ahead of Ohio State based just on the Michigan game. When you get up from Michigan to that degree and you beat them that badly,
it's an impressive skill shot. It is.
Whoa.
And look, Tony, if Ohio State does that back-to-back, which they are certainly capable of, as much as they're capable of ignoring a team they don't respect. Now, I'm not talking about Urban Meyer. I'm talking about the kids, obviously. If as much as they, could do that, just crush you, they could crush us. That would speak to the committee.
I think it would.
If in late November, in December 1, you come out and you go back-to-back 62-39 or whatever it is they're capable of doing to us or anybody else, that's how they get back in the playoffs.
Well, Simon, have you seen the spread yet for that game?
Yeah, do we know what it is?
I'm going to guess.
Take a guess. I got it here.
I'm going to say 10 to 12.
Oh, no. I'm going to say 17.
I say 14.
14.
Yeah.
14.
14. Okay. That makes sense.
And that's a neutral site, right? That's where Indianapolis?
That's an Indy, yes.
Neutral site.
And I think it'll be... I mean, I think all the people, Big Ten people who have tickets who are unaffiliated will root for us, and I think we'll have, I mean, we got half the student body going. I think we'll have 25 to 30,000 people. No, but yeah, we'll have 30,000 rooting for us. It'll
people
be sort of
who
even,
love America.
Even though everybody's not wearing purple.
People who love America will be rooting for Northwestern. Yes.
So you probably didn't get a chance because you played in the afternoon game. You probably didn't get a chance to see Alabama.
Mike, yeah.
Alabama is great.
Yeah, they're spectacular.
They're great.
Tony, I've been saying all year, the one thing I got right is that Alabama is the only truly great team out there. No, I didn't get it right yet because Clemson may be that. Notre Dame is impressive. They are impressive.
Yeah, they're not on that.
Even Notre Dame's not on that level yet to me. They'd have to look. And so what we're seeing, let's say Georgia wins. And then the rankings will be Clemson 1, presuming they beat whoever it is in the ACC they play. Who do they play? Pitt?
Yes.
Yep.
It's,
okay. We just looked it up. Yep. Yeah. Pitt and Charlotte.
So they'll be 1 if Alabama's to go down.
That's right.
Notre Dame would be 2.
I don't think so. I think Notre Dame would be 4. I think they'd be four.
I honestly think
they'd be four. I think Georgia would be two, Alabama three, and Notre Dame four. That's what I think.
I hope not. That to me, that doesn't reflect.
Well, the problem with doing that is then you've got Georgia, Alabama back to back.
Yeah, you're going to make Alabama two, Georgia three, Alabama four. That would be just and proper.
Okay.
So that would be something that people. I mean, then we get to see Notre Dame if they're two. You get to see them at least against Georgia or Alabama.
So Mike and I talked about this last night. We were chatting, and this is on the heels of Phillip Rivers at one point completing 25 or 26 25 straight passes.
I watched
the one that he missed, and it got pressure, and he just sort of dumped it off. And Phillip Rivers, this is the draft class. Phillip Rivers, Eli Manning, Ben Roethlisberger. Yep. They've been around a long time. They've been mostly healthy. They've been very competitive. Two of them have two Super Bowl wins, Roethlisberger and Manning. And I want you to look at them and over the course of their careers, because Rivers doesn't have that, but he probably has a higher percentage of completions and maybe a better touchdown to interception ratio. I don't know that. Eli gets a lot of interceptions. Rank them for me if you can.
That's easy for me. Roethlisberger, Manning, Rivers. I mean, look, Rivers, he's played on some great offenses, Tony, and they haven't gotten it done.
They have not.
He's been the best player often on a team with talent.
That's right.
And they failed. They failed miserably in some cases. This is a team that routinely went into November and lost games in November, December that they should have won with good teams. He's been a terrific quarterback in a lot of instances, but there's some instances where there have been glaring deficiencies. I don't mean deficiencies in terms of his talent, but in terms of that team's performance. And if the quarterback's going to get all the credit, then they got to get some of the blame when their team fails, spectacularly fails. So, I know all this stuff out there about what Manning hasn't done in most of the seasons in which they – I don't care. When Manning got in the playoffs,
they won.
They did twice what you dream of doing.
4-0. Yeah, no one cites
me. Roethlisberger's a lock for the Hall of Fame. And if I was still in that room and Roethlisberger didn't get voted in the first year, I'd be screaming bloody murder. And Roethlisberger may win again. And if he has three, I just want people to shut up.
Oh, well, if three is... This is automatic. There's only one guy with two doesn't get in.
Eli, to me, you know, I'm not like Jerry Rice, who knows more about this than anybody. I love Jerry Rice. I respect his opinion. As a matter of fact, it sways me because I know Jerry. It sways me when he says, you know, Eli Manning's terrific. He won these bowl games. He should be credited for Super Bowls. But no, not necessarily. I have to cede somewhat to Jerry Rice. But again, if I was in the room, depending who else was on the ballot that year, I'd cast a vote, likely, for Eli Manning. And then Rivers, Rivers is in a group with other guys like his predecessor, Dan Fouts, you know. And I guess there are a few guys who never even got. Has Rivers gotten to an AFC title game once, maybe?
That's a good question.
I don't know that he did.
I don't think that he has.
I don't know that he did. I think
you don't get to a title.
I think he's Tracy McGrady. I do. Yeah. I think he's Tracy McGrady, but he's in all of it. He's crazy.
Man, he's having a great season. How about the fact that Eli is, who's had a couple of decent games in a row, Eli is clearly just done. He's spent. It's over. There's no tragedy here. He's had a great, great, great career.
Here's what I don't understand, and it's the one thing. I'll let you go on this one. I don't understand how Jacksonville can stay with this guy who can't play a lick. And I think if you're Tom Coughlin, you say to Eli Manning, can you give me 1 year? Can you just give me 1 year?
No, you don't.
Is he that much of an improvement on Bortles?
Yeah. No, I mean, except without the, you know. No,
Bortles is terrible.
Okay, well, fine. Go get a quarterback. Other franchises do it. Go draft a quarterback. Or trade for a guy. No. You don't. Eli Manning is done. I didn't say the Giants are done. The Giants have arguably the two best players at their position on offense.
It's possible. Well, no, I don't think Barkley can touch Gurley yet, but he's certainly top three.
Second to Gurley. What are we talking about?
Yeah, he's top
three. He's got a guy who's a top three running back.
Yeah, I would say so. I agree with that.
He's got a receiver who's a top five.
Top three.
He could be one.
He could be
one.
He could be.
Those are his weapons. It's over for him. Jacksonville. Come on. No.
All right.
So, but having said that, you know, Eli Manning's capable of still beating you a game or two. He might win. Look, the Bears have him in Giants Stadium next week. I'd like to see that defense devour him.
Bears are going to roll.
It's possible.
Bears are actually good. They're actually good. They really are. They're a good team. Not a great team. They're a good team.
All right. Pretty good team, yeah.
I'll see you later.
All right, Tom.
Michael Wilbon, boys and girls. He'll be on the PTI show live in studio this afternoon. Is that what we say, live in studio?
Yeah. Correct. Yeah.
And we will come back. We will have news when we return. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Quip ad. I have options. I'm going to take option two. I haven't really looked at it yet.
Option two sounds lovely.
When choice. You think of the perfect gift, you probably don't think of an electric toothbrush. But the Quip electric toothbrush is one of the most gift-guided gifts. Gift-guided gifts of the season, and here's why. It's perfect for everyone with a mouth. And it's something they'll use twice a day.
Hopefully,
it has sensitive sonic vibrations, gentle enough on your sensitive gums, and a built-in timer with guiding pulses to remind you when to switch sides. Quip makes holiday travels clean and easy with the multi-use cover that mounts to mirrors and unmounts to slide over the bristles for on-the-go brushing. Quip doesn't require a clunky charger. This is the part I don't get.
How does it work then?
It runs for 3 months on one charge.
Right.
Quip is the gift that keeps refreshing with brush heads automatically delivered on a dentist-recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5. And you can even gift prepaid refills for a year to make sure they're never using old, worn-out, or ineffective bristles. Quip is one of the first electric toothbrushes accepted by the American Dental Association and has thousands of verified 5-star reviews. I love Quip. I said that. There, I got it out. I love it. I'd like to try to use it soon. I love it.
I love it.
Michael, you use Quip?
I do not. I don't brush my teeth.
When I brush my teeth, I use Quip.
I'd love it.
That slogan, that first one's free.
Quip looks like a big ticket tech gift with stocking stuffer price starting at just $25. And if you go to getquip.com/TonyK right now, you get your first refill pack for free with a Quip electric toothbrush, but you don't have to tell your giftee that. That's your first refill pack free at GetQuip, GetQuip.com/TonyK.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent to us by Dan Reichel, who's originally from Ronkonkoma, which is in Suffolk County, on Long Island, and is where Newsday is published.
Oh, really?
Lake Ronkonkoma. He's formerly of Tamarack, Florida, where my mom and dad lived, and where I will, God help me, end up. He's currently living in Limerick, Pennsylvania, but he didn't sing this song. His brother sings this song. I assume it's his brother, Jason Reichel.
That's right.
We played his stuff before. He performs under the name of My Cousin the Emperor, which is a very...
That is a great name,
isn't it? It's a very cool name. The song is titled Didn't Want to Let You Down, and it's off Jason's recently released full-length album, The Terrible Truth. Michael, if people like Dan Reichel want to send in his brother's music with permission from the brother, and anybody who sends us original music, how do they do it?
Send us your music by emailing it to jingles@tonykornheisershow.com.
How was your time in South Carolina, by
Stressful.
The way?
Very stressful.
Because of the baby boy Bootsy?
Just a lot of people, a lot of dinners, and trying to be the one who manages the grilling, making sure the temps are all right.
Did you use the big green egg?
I did use the big green egg.
Right.
No, my in-laws are wonderful, but when you go to somebody else's house for close to a week, and you're in a gated community, you just need to get out. So I was very happy to get to our own house last night, have a quiet dinner, and go to bed early.
Good for you.
You
Good
went for a week?
5 days.
Oh, my God. That's far too long.
I don't
know. Two days.
He played. You got to play how many golf?
Oh, we played golf every day. That is a condition of my continued support of this family.
So how many courses did you play? Just two?
Just the two.
Okay.
I said, Michael, he had a vacation like Trump. Golf every day, baby.
Yeah, why is that bad?
It's not.
Why is that
bad? I was making the comparison. Michael and Donald Trump have a lot in common.
It's the one thing that I will say about Donald Trump. If I had to isolate one thing where I go, I just don't get this one at all, and there's hundreds of candidates for that. But the fact that he was critical, that 45 was critical of 44 for playing golf, what are you doing?
Hey, can I read you a quote?
Yeah.
This is from 2017. You can guess who said it. 2016.
Donald Trump.
I'm not. Good work. Nailed it. I'm not going to have time to go golfing. Believe me. Believe me, folks.
He said to believe me three times.
Which means he's playing three rounds.
I am
he's working on the course.
I'm completely in favor of presidents playing golf.
Pro-vacation. Totally. We're pro-vacation. Believe
me. It's a terrible job.
Believe
me,
folks.
Go play golf.
Yeah, go play golf.
Play for a few hours. All right, Nigel, you have news.
I do indeed, Mr. Tony. And actually, you know what? I've got some exciting news about Salty the Sea Cat.
Oh, it's your that's
Simon, I believe.
Otherwise known as Simon the Sea Cat.
This is your book.
Yes, today on Cyber Monday, it is available in paperback. You can purchase this now.
Simon the Sea Cat.
On Amazon.com.
It's a great story.
Excellent.
It's a great
story. I'm searching
you
now.
You don't have to love cats to love this book.
Yes.
True story.
Is it Amazon Prime ready?
Your kids will love it.
Yes. Yes. So, so
by how many pages is it?
42 pages.
And it's essentially a child's book.
Yeah, it's about ages 6 to 10, I think, is the
well,
target.
That's great. This says it was written by someone whose name I don't recognize.
How are the reviews for it, Liz?
Oh, you know what? There are some good reviews. I think
it's 5 stars each. By the way, you can buy it for $0 on Kindle.
That's a deal.
I'm still not that interested.
How does that work? How can you get it for zero?
No, it says zero.
It's $42 shipping.
Kindle Unlimited. I'm Kindle Unlimited. I read a lot.
I don't know what that means.
This is one of the reviews.
Book worthy.
From Greg, greatest book about a British sea cat in China of 2018. A literary piece, series of songs. Yeah. It's great. So
these people all appear to be related to you.
No, they're not. They're not.
I like this one. It's 5 stars. Reset the board. Not Salty the Sea Cat. It's Simon the Sea Cat, and it's amazing. And brilliant.
I do like this from B. Danner. If you only read one book about a seafaring feline this year, make it this one.
It's 100%.
That is so
6 5-star. I'll tell you what, my book doesn't have any 5-star reviews. I'll tell you that much.
Mr. Tony, we'll start off with the NFL. We covered a bunch of games, but I know one game you wanted to talk about, one player in particular, was Baltimore Ravens and quarterback Lamar Jackson.
So Lamar Jackson, he had rushed for about 26 times the week before. And John Harbaugh said, look, he's a quarterback, okay? He's a quarterback, taking heed of the fact that Lamar Jackson could get separated from the rest of his body at any point. He rushed 11 times for 71 yards. He did not do much passing at all. He may have had one touchdown pass, but he had 2 picks.
One touch and 2
not
picks,
a high percentage, but they won again. Baltimore won again. They beat the Oakland Raiders. Oakland came 3,000 miles to play a 1 o'clock game, which is hard on a California team.
Especially when you stink like
the
Raiders do.
Yeah, and they're a bad team at the moment. So 2 questions come up. One is, where will Joe Flacco be next year? Will he take Blake Bortles' place in Jacksonville? Will he be on the market? And where will John Harbaugh be? Because at the moment, I think they have the 6th playoff position in the AFC. Baltimore is 6-5. I think they're ahead of Indianapolis, also 6-5. And if they make the playoff, I know what Jason has said. I know that it has been accepted that John Harbaugh will come to an amicable parting of the ways with Steve Bisciotti and the Baltimore Ravens. But what if they make the playoffs? Mm-hmm. What if Lamar Jackson, I think there are balls in the air in Baltimore more than other people think there are. And I think that Joe Flacco has a great playoff record. Somebody want to look that up?
Yes.
Yeah, we can.
It's a great playoff record. And Joe Flacco got hurt this year. They won, they won some games early with Flacco. Gary, what happens there? What happens?
I don't see how you jettison that guy. I mean, first of all, let's put Lamar Jackson in perspective here. He beat a Raiders team, which Lace points out is not much.
I think.
Playing, doing that west to east, 1 o'clock start thing. I mean, you can easily check that one. And the beating up on the Bengals looks a lot less impressive than it did when they were 5-4, now that they're 5-6 and just got destroyed at home by the Browns. Granted, a resurgent.
Yes.
They're not bad, but that was a lay down. That was like a cost Marvin Lewis his job finally type of loss for them. So I'm not sure that you're ready to ride Lamar Jackson all the way to and through the playoffs. So let's see. He's at the Falcons, then he's at the Chiefs.
At Chiefs is tough.
Right.
So
and they finish at Chargers and Browns at home. I mean, I guess they're done with the Steelers, aren't they?
Yes,
they are.
Split.
So that division is probably out of play for them. But whenever we talk about this here, I always say it's easy to fire a guy because you're angry, but you better have a solution. I don't see how if Harbaugh takes his team to the playoffs, you say, forget it, we're better off with someone else.
Flacco in the playoffs, 10-5, which is the third best behind Roethlisberger and Brady. 56.6 completion percentage, 3,223 passing yards, 25 touchdowns to 10 interceptions.
What do you want?
And in 2012, 2013, 11 TDs, 0 INTs in the playoffs. That's pretty.
Great,
I mean, it's remarkable.
He's a great playoff quarterback.
He's 83 and this is.
Let me say,
he has had some
those losses have been dog games.
That's right.
Yep.
And he had that one run that was. That was crazy,
yes.
And largely inflates his stats. I mean, you said, what is he, 10 and 5?
10 and 5.
And he's thrown 25 touchdowns, and 11 were in that three-game span, or four-game span.
Okay.
He's 83 and 55 in his career.
It's pretty good.
That kind
he's
of surprises me. I mean,
he's
that's
pretty good. He's
that's
pretty good.
Good.
All right, what else do we have?
Any other NFL games? The Patriots back in the number 2
no,
spot?
I don't care.
Okay.
No.
We'll go to...
Did you see the fight at all? Did you see the Fournette?
Jacksonville and Buffalo?
Yeah, I've seen it replayed a number.
That's kind of cool.
I mean, you know...
A couple guys
Jacksonville.
Jacksonville has imploded this year.
Yes.
Jacksonville. Yes. That there are two coaches out there whose jobs, I believe, are in real jeopardy. Two, maybe three. I believe Jacksonville and Tampa Bay, those jobs...
Dirt cutter.
They're in real jeopardy. Clearly, Green Bay, they're going to move on from Mike McCarthy. And it looks to me like the Jets will probably move on. But the others, I don't know what else is out there. Although, you'd probably have to consider getting rid of the coach at Carolina.
Ron Rivera.
I mean, consider that.
They got some talent.
Four in a row?
Three in a row. They got some
talent. He had another questionable fourth down gopher call. But.
Yeah.
To college football, Mr. Tony, one of the interesting games from the weekend, UCF wins again, but they lose their star quarterback McKenzie Milton.
They're not getting into the playoffs this year.
No, they won't. But it's sad because this guy, they won't even tell you really what happened to his knee. They just say it's sort of a traumatic injury to him.
Did you see it?
It's the same thing that happened to
–
Don't see it.
It's similar to the Zach Miller injury if you saw that last year. Who was the who was the kid from South Carolina? I want to say happened to
the kid. It's like a Gordon Hayward, Paul George type, where you're like, wow, that's not at all how your leg is supposed to.
Okay,
wow.
It's nasty. So I just want to point something out that Carville was 2-1 on the week. Carville had Ohio State and couldn't get to that quickly enough. He really wanted.
He also
Ohio
loved
State.
The Saints, who covered. Pretty
he got the Saints. The Saints covered over Atlanta, but he took the under. Just hold on a second now. He took the under on LSU, Texas A&M.
Hard to see that one coming.
They went 7 overtimes.
It's an amazing game.
The under was 47.5. That finished 74-72.
They both outscored it by 25.
It's just
highest scoring game in history, right?
Yes. I'm not certain. Yes. I am not certain from a betting standpoint. I am not certain that the college overtime rule. It kills you on over
yes,
under.
Yes, it does.
Also inflates. It also inflates
statistics.
Although that was – he was on the wrong side. I mean, that game was – if it's called correctly, some would argue. He would argue, I'm sure. It's 31-24 final. They gave Texas A&M multiple bites at the apple.
They said that the knee was down.
Yeah.
Yes. My father-in-law and mother-in-law, who are Aggies, were at that game and sending us updates throughout that. I mean, and that is a
10-hour game.
I stayed up and watched that game. It went till almost one in the morning.
Did you see this stat? It was that game was like 5 hours and 5 minutes beginning to end. The Michigan Ohio State game, which no overtimes, was like 4 hours and 25 minutes.
It took a long time.
Just
a lot of,
really
a lot of points.
A lot of commercials.
One other college game I thought you might be interested in. The UConn Huskies lose to Temple 57-7. Head coach Randy Edsall now has the distinct honor of coaching a team that gave up the most yards per game, the most points, and points per game of any major college football team in NCAA history.
Wow. You're nitpicking.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I am. I know you want to talk about the Wizards.
I don't care about the Wizards.
I don't care about the Wizards.
I want to talk about Ricky J.
Ricky J. Melancholy Abbey Trails.
Ricky J.
Loved
died yesterday or the day before. For those of you who don't know who Ricky J. is, Ricky J. is the greatest sleight-of-hand card magician that anybody has ever seen. I paid money to
and
go see him.
And stage magician.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I paid money to go see him in downtown in Washington, D.C., at Arena Stage. I love magic. He is not like David Copperfield or David Blaine. He doesn't encase himself in a chunk of ice.
Hanging above Fifth Avenue.
No, he doesn't do that. He stands right in front of you. Right in front of you, and he does card magic and coin magic and stuff like that. He is in every
sleight of hand.
He is in every single David Mamet movie. He's always in. They're like best friends. I watched him do things that they are astonishing. I know their tricks. I have no idea how they're done. I'm going to read to you a little from the appreciation, two things. I'm going to read the first two paragraphs, and I'm going to read a trick that he did. And this is by Harrison Smith. This is in the Washington Post today. While other magicians breathed fire, sawed women in half, or made entire buildings disappear, Ricky Jay performed remarkable feats using little more than the pads of his fingers. These were, strictly speaking, nothing more than tricks or illusions, sleights of hand performed by a master magician. But to those who witnessed Mr. Jay up close, and I add parenthetically, which I did and was happy to pay for it, turning over a row of red B playing cards to reveal an unexpected hand or flinging them across the room like wild projectiles where they pierced the skin of a watermelon. I watched that.
That was his, and I think I saw that same tour if you're talking about 20 years ago at Arena, and that was
pierced the skin of watermelon.
He could throw cards with such velocity
90 miles an hour,
stick
they
said. Them in to
the
rind.
Watermelon.
Yeah.
The
rind, yeah.
Wow. Or flinging them across the room like wild projectiles, his magic tricks were nothing less than works of art, head-scratching, wonder-inducing achievements that made him perhaps the most gifted sleight-of-hand artist alive, as journalist Mark Singer wrote in a 1993 article for The New Yorker. I'm going to turn inside now and read you just a blowaway thing. He seemed most at home performing his deceptions live in front of small, rapturous audiences in theaters or at private parties. Once while performing at a New Year's Eve event in Los Angeles, Mr. J was asked by a guest named Mort to, quote, do something truly amazing, unquote, according to Singer's profile in The Yorker. Mr. J asked him to name a card, and Mort settled on the Three of Hearts. After shuffling, Singer wrote, Jay gripped the deck in the palm of his hand and sprung it, cascading all 52 cards so that they traveled the length of the table and pelted an open wine bottle. After asking Mort to name his card once again, Mr. J instructed the guest to look inside the bottle. Mort discovered curled inside the neck the Three of Hearts.
How?
Singer
how do
you continued. The party broke up
how?
Immediately. I don't know. I'm
magic.
Just telling you.
Why is magic not more popular?
It is with
when
me.
I was a kid, David Copperfield was a giant star.
Love
I love magic.
I just love it. No, I don't care about making tigers turn into women.
No. Making
I care
a plane
about card
disappear.
Tricks. Card
right.
tricks.
Yes, totally.
Right
agree.
In front of you, card tricks.
David Blaine at this point.
I paid
point,
real American money to see this
and
guy
and, happy
and
to do
was
it.
Thrilled.
Yeah.
David Blaine actually does some before he started getting into what are really just endurance tests.
Yes,
and
he did great
he does
stuff.
Amazing yeah. sleight of hand stuff.
That's right.
Yeah. But
that's not big enough.
No.
In our culture now,
no.
it's not big enough.
You can't
enough.
Come out and do a 30-minute
you
special
have to
where you
make
do a bunch
a car
of
appear on the roof.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
One movie I would recommend is a David Mamet movie. Is called Heist. Gene Hackman is in it. And it's just...
He's in every David Mamet movie.
He is so great, so great in that. And there was one story I wanted to share with you from that same piece on him. Talking about his father used to use Brill Cream on his hair and
yes.
Colgate on his teeth. And he said, once when I was 10, I switched the tubes. All you need to know about my father is that after that, he brushed his teeth with Brill Cream and put toothpaste in his hair. That's a guy I like.
You got to like that guy. Yeah. We'll take a break. We will come back with Old Guy Radio. And I will talk about the Tiger Phil golf match, which I watched
golf.
Almost every
Tiger.
Second of. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Old Guy Radio for the day. Tina Turner, Ike Turner, River Deep, Mountain High. Who do you think produced this?
Always.
He's incarcerated
always.
At Spectre. This point. Phil Spector. Why are we playing this except for the fact that it's brilliant?
It's because it's Tina's 79th birthday.
Good for
today.
Her.
So happy birthday, Tina Turner.
What's love got to do?
Yes, it's not a big hit in the United States.
Didn't go higher than 25, I don't think.
Yeah. But now, Jenna regarded as...
Brilliant.
Unbelievably brilliant and sort of the song of her career.
This is, when you ask people, define the wall of sound. And this is late in Phil Spector's
yep.
career. This is the one that people talk about it. Because it's just... It's a fantastic song.
Yeah, this is released in 1966.
Cannot sit still. Yeah, I mean, your body moves.
Yeah.
Cannot sit still. All right, let me get to Tiger Phil. Let me also just say yesterday that I got, and I don't know how many people got this lucky yesterday, in the Washington, D.C. area, it was a stolen day to play golf.
Lovely day.
It got to like 60
so
degrees.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it was nice.
And I played RTJ, and I finished well. I parred
finished
18.
Well. Did you make money?
Well put? I did. I made money. Yes, I did.
Boom.
Thank you to Mike Brush. Thank you to Joe Paulson. Money, 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 money. Yes, I made some money. And finished well and had a really good time, walked it, and it was lovely. So I'm grateful for that opportunity. I want to talk about Tiger and Phil, and I want to talk at some length. I tried, through a friend of mine, Steve Brenner, I was able to get a VIP code. So I was able, long before you found out that the money was going to be returned and the paywall was down and all of that stuff that I don't truly understand, I was able to sit in my house and I was able to get it on my computer, not on my television set, but on my computer. And I got it about 20 minutes. It came through about 20 minutes before the thing started. So at that point, there's four people sitting around. There's Charles Barkley. There's Ben Stiller. Don't ask me why. There's Samuel L. Jackson. And there's a gambling guy named Adam Lefko.
Rufus
I don't know who he is. And they were talking about the upcoming match. And
no
then,
Pat Perez at that point?
Oh, yeah, Pat Perez. Yeah, no, Pat Perez. So Samuel Jackson wasn't there at that point. It was Pat Perez, who, by the way, later on in the telecast, said the only things worth listening to of anybody on the telecast, which I
well,
would
he's
get
the
to.
Guy 2 years ago that said Tiger can't beat anybody. So he has a history.
He's been vocal.
Yeah, he's been vocal.
And Pat Perez was wearing a raspberry red suit. Pat Perez looked like, whoa, are you ready for your close-up now, Mr. DeMille? I mean, that was just wild. In any case, the show comes on, and there's this interminable beginning, probably only lasting 5 minutes, with fighters talking about pay-per-view, including... what's his name? No, Canelo doesn't speak English.
I know who you mean.
Floyd Mayweather and Oscar De La Hoya and Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson of
all boxers.
People.
No, like Conor McGregor.
No, no. Okay. There might have been one MMA guy, but it wasn't Conor McGregor. In any case, finally that ended. And then I will tell you that over the course of the 22 holes and the last two or three were just chip shots from 95 yards. For them, just chip shots. So I went to Columbia for an hour. Columbia bought it. Woodmont bought it. Rehoboth bought it. Chevy bought it. I guess golf clubs bought it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And they got a much lower rate.
I was going to say, they probably made it.
They got a much lower rate than we didn't buy it here at Chatter because it was way too expensive here. But I watched probably 90% of it. I mean, the only thing I didn't watch was driving to and from Columbia. Columbia did a great thing. They had hors d'oeuvres for people out. Columbia had 150 people watching this thing. I mean, it was very, very lively. And that, now I will be critical.
It's also a golfing audience of a certain age.
100%.
Fun to watch socially, though, I imagine. That'd be a lot of fun to watch.
Loads of fun to sit around a table and make fun of everybody going on. I will say this. I thought the telecast was awful. I don't usually do this, but Peter Jacobson, I just didn't get it. And the very few times that Tiger and Phil actually engaged on the course, they were drowned out very often by Peter Jacobson.
Darren Clark
was there, and Darren Clark
Crazy
was okay.
Hair looking on
Darren
that.
Clark was okay because he didn't talk
nothing.
As much as Peter Jacobson. And they treated it like a golf match. This is totally wrong. And Ernie Johnson, who I like very much, Ernie was sort of always in sell mode, talking about the match. What I would have done, and I'll probably get crushed by this, what I would have done if I ran that telecast, and I do love Ernie Johnson, I do, I would have had Charles Barkley on the course walking with them, with a microphone, engaging them, because they love... Yeah. The best part of the telecast was the back and forth between Justin Verlander tweets... And Charles Barkley, Justin Verlander wanted to bet Barkley he couldn't double number one. And Barkley was great, right, Michael?
And that's the power of what this telecast was trying to do.
That's
what it
should've
been. Watch the start, they very wisely tried to let the golfers talk for the first hole. Now, the single greatest part of this telecast was Phil Mickelson's heavy breathing.
Oh, he was winded at one.
Trying to get up the hill. Yeah. And for the subsequent holes, trying to get from green to tee box.
He was, yes.
So they tried to give him that space. Tiger Woods is not going to give you anything.
Zero.
He looked vacant. He was empty. Yeah.
He's
Phil
playing
Mickelson,
golf.
Phil Mickelson was like your magician. He had canned lines at the ready, and it fell short of that.
Yes.
The Barkley thing would be great, but
what I would have done.
It's the what happened when they had those Tiger Duval matches 15 years ago. There's too much dead time when you have two guys playing golf on a resort course where it's miles between tees and greens.
I should have gone out with Wilbon and played also. And, you know, separately, and we would have been funny.
Well, if they wanted, if they opened this up to the young guys who would dominate the social media coverage of this, and these guys were tweeting about it, though some of them said they wouldn't watch, guys like Justin Thomas.
He watched.
Yes, Rory, Ricky. If you had those guys starting on an alternate side of the course,
and that's actually really smart.
And you had fun games between them, you'd have enough content to fill that 4.5 hours of coverage.
They kept going back to this gambling guy who I think this is a miscalculation. Because what he was saying was lost on 90% of the audience.
Just because it was so technical?
Me. Yes, plus 180, and these guys. And stop.
But that's why this was a testing ground to see where the money was moving after every single shot.
Right.
When a sport like golf gives you the time to see what's happening.
But I just think that's a very limited field you're talking to. Am I wrong about Peter Jacobson? He just talked and talked and talked. I mean, he's usually engaging. It was not engaging. Tiger and Phil basically stopped talking to each other after number 5.
Yes.
Then Phil would at least talk to his brother. You could hear it, but there was very little back and forth between the two of them. And to be fair, the golf wasn't good. There was one great moment on 17.
Tiger's chipping.
Tiger chipped in. And other than that, they missed every putt.
So they missed the telecast was hobbled together, and there was no real chemistry, and I think it was set up to fail just because there was not enough content for them to talk about. You're right. It was a testing ground. The social media component where you had professional athletes tweeting about the match was the most, I would say, the most successful organic 100%. Moment when you could have Charles riff off of that.
Charles Barkley, it was.
We were promised side bets, and we got about 3 or 4 that were decided on before the match started. You're coming down 18 on a winner take all type of hole, a risk reward. I want to see Tiger getting up in Phil's face and saying, $100,000 says you're not going to clear the water. You know, don't give me that 4.5 foot putt. I was watching with my mother in law. And what's so great is to see different types of golfers and sports fans actually watching this nonsense, mediocre golf. And she's sitting there going, "I wouldn't give him that putt. What are you doing?"
Phil,
with
the
this?
Second best moment was on the second time around on the made-up hole that was.
I don't want to win like this.
The hole, he said, "I don't want to win like this. Let's do it again," because he had a very short putt. Tiger flew it twice. The first 2 times, Tiger was off the green.
So this is you had. Part of the issue I had with the golf is I don't think they set the course up well for made-for-TV golf. The greens were very fast and were very firm, so they couldn't actually stop it and correct bowls where they had makeable putts inside 20 feet. You get to 18, a risk-reward par 5, where the pin is cut on the left side on top of a tier. Phil takes the correct, safe approach. He hits a Herculean shot. It rolls down to 40 feet. No chance and barely can try and two-putt. Tiger gives him the putt. Tiger takes the appropriate shot over the flag and is, you know, essentially struggling to get down in 2. Put the pin where they cut it for the short par 3 in the lower right bowl. So you're tasking both players to hit an aggressive drive, an aggressive second shot, and 3 is on the table. Let somebody make an eagle to
and
win.
And they didn't do that. Now, with all of my criticisms, I loved it. I loved it because this is what I said the other day about interviewing Phil and Tiger. I can't imagine. There's nobody else out there for me. Certainly not Dustin Johnson. Not Spieth. Not even Rory for me that has the star power over an elongated period of time that Tiger and Phil have. And I know that they don't like each other. Tiger doesn't like anyone.
Yep.
All right?
And based on what you're saying, wasn't going to pretend like it either.
No, not when he's playing golf. He reverts back to being Tiger Woods when he's playing golf. And if you thought, and I don't know why anybody thought this, it would be different, that it was going to be some sort of giggle fest. That's not who he is when he's playing. He is this default non-human being
assassin.
When he plays golf. Yeah. And it was not only was it not good golf, these guys are plus 6. Each one of them is plus 6. Maybe they shot 2 under or something like that because they took advantage of par 5s. But it was not particularly good. With all that, I couldn't take my eyes off it. I'd watch it again. I would watch it again, and I think I may be in the minority of that. And a lot of they had to give back a lot of money. Lot of money was on a give back. I don't know if this will happen again, but I loved it. I loved it.
It's an interesting mashup of a lot of things audience-wise. Like that's what I was wondering about in terms of how it performs. Because in some ways, it's for insider golf folks like you and Michael who are going to watch that kind of thing. But then also the way it's advertised was sort of like two big personalities and you know these
well,
people.
Not
but then also it was advertised as like a gambling thing too. So it's like a mishmash of – it's not totally clear what you're getting.
I don't know why you would put – I don't know why you'd have a three-man booth to talk about the golf shots. You know, just to go on and on about the golf shots. And they were reluctant. By the end, they said so. But they were reluctant to say, this is not good golf.
Well, if it was,
and it wasn't. If it right?
was. Barkley was the only one who said, this is junk.
That's why Barkley should have been on the course.
So did you see any number? Maybe they haven't been posted yet. I'm looking for.
I don't know. How many people bought it?
Yeah,
no.
I can't find it.
And there was nobody on the course, right? It was just the
two. No, they were.
Had, so Natalie
no,
Gulbis had a couple was, of, was on course, but
and they
was
had a couple
not
hundred
really present.
People walking shot to shot. Yes, yeah. Which surprised me. I thought there was going to be nobody.
Yeah, it had been reported that there wouldn't be.
See, but I would rather, as a casual golf fan, I would rather they do one hole where they try to hit the trickiest shot they can. Like, not make it just a straight up 18-hole golf like you know
well,
it.
Well, you
like,
thought you'd get that with
a trick
the side
shot.
Bets.
Hit a, right.
You didn't get it.
Try to hit like a massive duck hook, you know, or something so that this, does something.
I will say this to your point about these particular guys, like Justin and Jordan. That's not. I don't think it. And now maybe it's just the age I'm at. But what we've watched these
They're
two
not
guys
all-time
compete.
Greats. These guys are all
we've watched
time
them for
greats.
A quarter of a century competing against each other.
They're great.
And to me that, but.
If you put it on tomorrow, I'd watch it
but
again.
But had I purchased it, I would have, and maybe I would have been a fool for thinking I would get this, but I would have been watching it because I wanted to see their interaction. And what it sounds like is they're just...
They stopped
not,
talking.
Yeah.
They didn't talk to each other. Phil tried, but Tiger is...
Look, I think they agreed upon this beforehand, saying we have an 18-hole match. Let's keep it close for the first six or seven. I don't think either one wanted to have more than a one-up lead
after that
first third. And then at the end, Tiger basically said, I'm going into shutdown go mode. And when he chipped in, there was a twinkle in that eye. He woke up, and he wanted to say, you wanted this, Phil. This is what you get.
Yeah. So it was for me... I would do it again, but I think I've talked to a lot of people who've seen it, and they were less enthusiastic than I am, but I liked it. We'll take a break. When we come back, we will do jingle email. When we return, I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
In stereo.
Here comes Tony's mailbag. Got your email, faxes, and your notes. Here comes Tony's mailbag. Gotta read some for all you folks.
Thank you, Gary. Let me thank Michael Wilbon for coming on the show today. Also, like to thank today's sponsors, American Express and Quip. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. And if you do listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. From Steve the Sycophant, the Hallmark Channel and the Hallmark Movie Channel both came through the day after Thanksgiving. Maybe you watched some of these epics with your charming wife, but just in case you missed them, here are the titles of the movies shown within a mere five-hour time period on the two channels. Princess for Christmas, Hearts of Christmas, Reunited at Christmas, Return to Christmas Creek, and the all-timer Karen Kingberry's Magic Christmas Miracle. Yes, 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 you just can't go wrong. Now it's time to hit the leftover turkey before it turns
green. I wonder if Return to Christmas Creek is a sequel.
Like, feels like it, doesn't
visit
it?
Visit to Christmas Creek, Return to Christmas Creek.
From Nicholas Messalella in Providence, Rhode Island. How about this for a trade? You send Saliza and Sheehan to the Wizards in exchange for John Wall. He can work the podcast in the morning and wait tables at night. If they don't want to give up Wall, how about trading Saliza and Sheehan for a bag of donuts or half a bag of donuts or a cookie? Just get rid of Saliza and Sheehan. No, I love them. I love them. Throw in Zverluga. Nobody likes him either. That's the first mention.
Good take. Oh, good take.
Wow.
Barry. People love Barry.
Bob Steen in Centerville, Virginia. You have no idea how long I had to drive around a grammar school parking lot to get these pictures. If you want to know, just ask the local police. I'm no longer allowed within 1/2 mile of a school when students are present. I'm not sure it was worth it. I can't even make these out, but I'm sure they are mileage things.
Oh, they're pictures.
Their mileage.
From Mike Villarosa. Mike Villarosa from Chicago is Swift and Company, right?
Yes.
Okay.
During your segment with Ann on Friday, she listed off the many actresses in the movie Widows, most of which you didn't know. Add me to that list of people you do know, kind of, in that movie. Widows was shot in my restaurant, and I cooked all the food for the movie that day. I suppose this is my David Aldridge self moment.
Oh, nice. That's
yes.
great.
That's so wonderful. Cool. Congratulations to Mike on that. From Sean Johnson in Philadelphia, just when you thought this week's picks couldn't get any worse after Chuck Todd, and he did, he went 0-3 on Thanksgiving, James Carville gave us the best worst pick ever by taking the under in the LSU-Texas A&M game, better known now as the highest score
it's amazing.
Football game in history.
In fact, I think if you multiplied his under times three, it still was still over.
Yeah.
From Jamie Edwards in Reedfield, Maine, is it just me or did Rufus Peabody sound suspiciously like Michael Kornheiser right down to the diction and cadence? No.
Rufus Peabody
is the same thing.
Really?
Rufus Peabody is a professional gambler.
Yeah, 1-2.
I am fascinated by that.
He was 1-2 in his picks.
And the monkey was 2-1.
Okay.
So
well,
from Greg B. in Lakewood, Ohio, as a Michigan alum living in Ohio, it's been a particularly rough weekend. My Sunday started with my neighbor's 9-year-old son taunting me about where my Michigan flag disappeared to. Then as I began yard work and catch up on podcasts, I hear Kevin say, OSU is fraudulent, defense shaky at best, and this Michigan team is for real. Kevin is now dead to me. Long live Jeff Ma. From Steve in San Diego, Chuck Todd is truly the Metro Man. He goes from being on fire to a full-on train wreck in an instant. No. At least he didn't join James Carville in taking the under.
It's amazing.
On the LSU-Texas A&M game. Just missed on that one. Christian Marshall in Franklin, Pennsylvania. Not wanting... Are we still... Is there music still? I don't even hear it.
Okay, yeah.
There's a bus outside. Not wanting to wait online or on the line. Not wanting to wait in line. I don't wait in line. When you grow up on Long Island, the phrase is you wait
online.
I always wait online, not in line.
It's the only online you do.
And the chance I leave early to beat traffic. Are you making a cameo in Creed 2 or making his little stick around for a post-credit scene? Or am I just better off waiting for the director's cut to be released? And it says, can you explain waiting in line, waiting online? We are apparently not in Creed 2. We did Creed 2.
Outrage.
We filmed Creed 2. We were paid for Creed 2. But we apparently, much like Kevin Costner in The Big Chill, much like Kevin Costner, we are not in the movie. According to Anne would have told us if she'd seen Wilbon and me in the movie.
I'm a body double in that movie.
In
Drago's
Creed 2?
Son.
Is that right?
Yeah. What? That's Why are you laughing?
I'd read that.
Justin Johnson in Arlington, Virginia. All the turnovers Colt had on Thursday, do you think the Redskins finally get it right and bring back RG3? Are you willing to take calls in the third hour on this? No, we're not bringing back RG3. We're not taking calls. Chris Eliza went to a drive-in over the weekend.
It was amazing. Family drive-in. Go there. It is in Stevens City, Virginia. It's only one within 150 miles of D.C. It was so great. Yes, it was awesome. A little cold, but it was great.
If you're out on your bike time, everyone, as always, do wear white.
Don't do it, Tony.
Thank you.
Losing the faith on these hammers, wondering what we did to lose these cordials. We seem to give and take till we can't take back. We blossom into a rose, then the petals fall. Had our time filling up the loops. Oh. Bruises and aches as my step ain't normal. Ruining all I had as the years grow. Follow down the hollow if I can. Follow down with a drink, then I fall again. I bide my time, filling up a loop.
It was long ago, so long that I've lost track. I still think of you now and again. You're still a mystery to me. Sometimes it's hard to believe. Sometimes it's hard to let go to your dreams. I didn't want to let you down. No.
Again.